First reading is taken from Acts chapter 16, reading verses 11 to 15 and also verse 40, and it can be found on page 1112 in the Pew Bibles. Acts chapter 16, starting to read at verse 11. From Troas we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace, and the next day we went on to Neapolis. From there we travelled to Philippi, a Roman colony and the leading city of that district of Macedonia, and we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to teach to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira, named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshipper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. After Paul and Silas came out of the prison, they went to Lydia's house, where they met with the brothers and sisters and encouraged them. Then they left. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, do please turn back to our first reading, because that's where we're going to focus, on page 1112 in the Church Bibles. And let me say a prayer for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the way when your word was heard and read aloud, both for Lydia and for Matthew, you opened their hearts. We pray for ourselves now, that you would open our hearts through having heard your word read, and as we look at it together, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, I don't think I'm saying anything controversial to say that Europe's a bit of a mess at the moment. There was a day, wasn't there, when there was the hope that with the shared Christian values across the nations of Europe, it may be possible to build something. For everybody's good. But as those Christian values have been eroded and various other ideas have come in and so on, and as the election results dribble out later today, no doubt there'll be loads of hand-wringing and trying to explain exactly what's going on, what it means, and so on and so forth. But it does raise a question, doesn't it? Where did those Christian values in Europe come from? Where did they all begin? And actually, where they began is in the passage that you've got in front of you, page 1112, when Paul, together with Luke and Silas, possibly some others, first came to Philippi and established the first church in Lydia's home in Philippi in northern Greece. That's where it all began for Europe. And as we've been thinking over these recent Sunday mornings about how the Lord might be calling us to serve him in our day, Lydia's example in Philippi has a great deal both to teach us and to inspire us. So let's pause a moment, first of all, to think, how do we actually get here where we are this morning? What is the chain of events that led you to be at this place of worship in Rothley today? Now, I'm sure there'll be a whole sequence of decisions made for all manner of reasons, some have made by you, possibly some made by other people for you, reaching back over the years. When those decisions were made, it may never have crossed your mind that you would one day find yourself here this morning, sitting on an uncomfortable wooden bench, listening to me. But actually, I'm sure the same was true for Lydia, in terms of there being a whole sequence of events which she would never have realized what they were leading to. that led her to where she was. Let's look at her story, how she wound up that Sabbath morning at the place of prayer with the women by the river outside the city gate in Philippi. We're told that she was from Thyatira. Now, that was just over 200 miles away from Philippi. Some of you may have traveled 200 miles to be here from where you first started off. I don't know. It was still part of the Greek-speaking Roman Empire, but a different province. Philippi's Macedonia, Thyatira was in Lydia, in what we call Turkey today. It's probably the province she came from is where she got her name from. It's a bit like meeting Frank from France or Chelsea from Chelsea. She was Lydia from Lydia. She grew up in the city of Thyatira. It was a wealthy city with lots of trade guilds, famed for manufacturing purple dyes for clothing from the root of the madder plant. In fact, that continued on in Thyatira right up until the 19th century, when people like ICI started inventing chemical dyes and took the world over. But we're told she was a worshipper of God. So it was more than likely, as a Gentile Greek, she would have come into contact with the Jewish faith through the synagogue at Thyatira. Now, I suspect you probably know that purple was the imperial colour, and purple was very valuable as a dye. The passage tells us that Philippi was a Roman colony. So it would have been an obvious place for a dealer in purple cloth to go and do trade. However, it's unlikely in the ancient world that she, as a single woman, would have done that. It's probably more likely that she would have initially based herself in Philippi with her husband. But we're not told anything about him. But the fact that he's not mentioned, and the fact that it's referred to as her home, her household, throughout the passage, might suggest that she'd actually become a widow in Philippi. So why is she now with the women as a God-fearer at the river? As we read through Acts, we read that Paul visited lots of cities. And what was the first thing Paul did when he went to any city? He went to the synagogue on the first Sabbath that he was there. Now, we read that he stayed in Philippi a few days. We stayed there several days in verse 12. But then on the first Sabbath he's there, he doesn't go to the synagogue, which would suggest that there probably wasn't one there. Now, in the ancient world, for there to be a synagogue, there needed to be a corate group of 10 Jewish men. So it would suggest to us that there probably wasn't a synagogue, and that the Jewish faith was probably very small in Philippi. So Lydia, having found herself in Philippi, wouldn't, as a God-fearer, wouldn't have had anywhere to go other than this place of prayer outside the city gate by the river with the other God-fearing women. That's an amazing chain of events, isn't it, when you think about it, that actually took her from Thyatira to being at that place of prayer outside the city gate by the river on that particular Sabbath, when Paul, having had a vision, had decided to go with Silas and Luke across to Philippi to begin to preach the gospel. It makes me wonder, how did you wind up here this morning? What is that chain of events? Maybe about family, maybe about business, maybe about all sorts of things that have led you from where you started off to actually winding up here today, gathering in a place of worship at the heart of this community, which, like in the case of Philippi, the community around us predominantly does not share the faith that we gather with amongst us. So what then happens? Well, we see that open hearts lead to open homes. In that place where she found herself, she heard the good news of Jesus Christ from Paul. When Paul began to speak, we read, she listened to the message, and the Lord opened her heart to respond. And I certainly hope and pray that that is what goes on here, week by week, as we gather in this place of prayer. Some of you may come with some notion of God. Say, some of you may come with doubts or just be exploring things. Some of you may come having been trusting in God for many years. But whichever, as we gather here together, we hear the word of God read aloud from the scriptures. And then we hear someone up front seeking to explain that. And then a miracle of God's grace takes place. A miracle of God's grace takes place. It's nothing to do with the eloquence, the learning, the wisdom, or anything of the person up front speaking. Just as it wasn't anything about Paul's eloquence, wisdom, learning, or anything. What we're told is the Lord, by his Holy Spirit, opens hearts. Whether instantly, something may just suddenly click, and you go, yes, I get it, I understand, I believe in Jesus Christ. Or it may be drip by drip, over the weeks, over the months, over the years, that we find the Lord opening our heart to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, to be able to say with conviction those words taken from Paul's letter to the Philippians that we used earlier in our service. Now, as we've been going through this series on Sunday mornings, we've seen some amazing public figures, haven't we? Moses, who went to Pharaoh's throne and who led the Israelites out of Egypt into the Promised Land. We've heard of Jeremiah, that great preacher and prophet who stood up before kings and prophets and priests and rulers and all sorts. But for Lydia, we aren't told that the Lord opening her heart and her coming to believe led to her being a preacher or, in fact, any other kind of upfront minister. We're simply not told that. What we are told is that when the Lord opened her heart, she opened her house. She opened her home. She placed all she had at the disposal of the practical service of the gospel in the place that she lived. The way the Lord called her to serve was generous hospitality. So let's look at what she actually did, placing her home at the disposal of the gospel. You see in verse 15, when she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. As I say, we know that included Paul, Luke, the writer of Acts, and Silas at least. There may have been others in this group of missionaries. And the invitation wasn't a sort of, "Oh, would you like to come to lunch today? Take it or leave it" kind of invite. She encouraged and strongly urged them to make her home their base for this new group of Christians and the base for their evangelistic in this city which did not share her faith. So how practically might we place what we have at the service of the gospel, at the disposal of the work of making Jesus Christ known in our community, where we live? This isn't about the Lord calling us to stand up front on Sundays, but rather during the week to seek practical and generous ways of helping all the work that is going on to bring the good news of Jesus to people in Rothley. It may mean opening your home for a Bible study or a prayer group, or for some young people to meet to learn about Jesus. It may mean offering lifts. It may mean taking the housebound or infirm to a place where people gather to learn about Jesus, like next Saturday afternoon, for example. It could mean offering to babysit so a young family could be part of a Bible study group. It could be about providing a meal, making a cake, perhaps welcoming some newcomers to your home for a meal. As we read through this chapter, we find that she welcomed all sorts. A coarse Roman jailer and his grubby children, and an ex-slave girl were welcomed into her house, to use all her fine bone china, no doubt. There are an infinite number of ways in which we can each respond to the Lord's call to serve, like Lydia, being selfless and generous with what we have in order to enable the gospel to grow. What I mentioned at the start of the service about a projector is an example of that. You'll see there's a notice on the notice sheet about Paul and Kathy from Mercier being here for a month in the summer and travelling around all sorts of various churches that support them across the country, needing a car. You've only picked up that notice sheet this morning. It went out by email on Friday night, and by Saturday morning I'd had an email from someone saying we can make a car available for 2 weeks of that month. You know, these are the kind of things that go on and that we can all do to help the gospel to grow. For Lydia, that Christian community was quite small in the size of Philippi, this Roman colony that did not share her faith. And actually the same is true for us. This Christian community here, while we look at full building, and that's great and encouraging, is quite a small part of the community in which we're situated, which does not share our faith. You know, how is the Lord calling you in a practical way to serve the work of making Jesus Christ known across this community? What might you be able to do this week in the place where you live or work? But actually, there's yet more challenge in the example of Lydia than simply that. She placed her reputation in the community on the line for the sake of the gospel. And she, at the start, a bit, the first part of what we heard read, we saw she had publicly opened her home to these Christian ministers. Fine, but she couldn't have anticipated what happened next. If you've got the page open, you'll be able to glance down and see what happened in the rest of the chapter. Because while Paul was in Philippi preaching, that led to the conversion of a slave girl who had been exploited by men to make a great deal of money for them by telling fortunes. When they realized their hope of making money had gone, verses 19 and 20 tell us, they seized Paul and Silas, dragged them into the marketplace, that was pretty public, to face the authorities and accuse them as Jews of throwing the city into uproar by preaching Christ in a Roman city, advocating customs which the rest of the and beliefs which the rest of the culture did not share. The crowd, we are told, joins in the attack, and so the magistrates come out and order Paul and Silas to be publicly stripped, that would have drawn a crowd, and beaten with rods before being thrown into prison, chained and guarded. The whole city would have been talking about it. Did you see what happened in the marketplace today? And of course the question, who are they? Where are they staying? Who else is involved? Almost certainly that night, Lydia, behind her front door, would have feared the mob and an attack on her home. That night, the city was rocked by an earthquake. The prison was sufficiently damaged to enable the prisoners to escape, but they didn't. Paul and Silas voluntarily handed themselves over to the Roman jailer, who then listens to Paul's story. The Lord opens his heart, and he and his household are also baptized. And then the following morning, the magistrates come and order Paul and Silas to leave the city. And no doubt a crowd would have gathered to watch that taking place. But they didn't leave the city. What do? They go on knock on Lydia's door. Now put yourself for a moment in Lydia's place. Okay, behind your front door, a crowd has been in riot the previous night. The magistrates have ordered these two guys, well, three guys or however many it was, to leave the city. And there's a crowd watching them. And you glance out the window and you see them approaching your front door and knock. What would you do? What is at stake at that moment for Lydia? her reputation in the city, her business and income, the welcome and support she has received over the years from the local community, the looks and comments she would get when she next went out into the marketplace. Am I going to identify with Jesus Christ in this hostile place? Am I going to be identified with those who are faithful to Jesus Christ and the teaching of the apostles in a community that holds to other views and values? You see, this isn't a decision about a private religion and a private faith. Whatever Lydia does next will be a public statement. And so what will you do this week where the Lord has placed you to serve? Lydia opened the door and in doing so established the first church in Europe in her own precious home with these missionaries, a slave girl, and a coarse Roman jailer and his mucky children. And 2,000 years later, we look back on the shared Christian heritage which came as a result of that. But I think today we face a similar crisis to that which Lydia faced at that moment. We increasingly live in a place that is hostile to the uniqueness of Jesus Christ and to the teaching of the Scriptures in our workplace, our schools, our homes, and in our families. What will we do? Are we going to keep the door shut for a private faith? Or are we going to open the door? It's a choice every one of us has to face day by day, week by week. The Lord has opened our hearts to believe in Jesus, to know, as we remember on Thursday, and he's ascended on high, is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he lays before us the challenge to serve him as he opens our hearts. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the way. By your Holy Spirit, you opened Lydia's heart to the good news about Jesus Christ. We thank you that she was unashamed to stand alongside the apostles and their teaching in a hostile world. We pray for us, ourselves. You know the whole process of decisions that has led to us being where we are now and where we will be this time tomorrow morning and into the week. We pray that by your Holy Spirit, you will grant us Lydia's courage to be unashamed of you and your teaching. In Jesus' name, amen.